You're listening to Asheville FM at WSFM LP 103.3 Asheville. This is news team correspondent Gary Leonard, joined in the studio with Greg Borum, Director of Advocacy with Children First, Communities and Schools. As always, Greg, thank you so much for joining us.
Always a pleasure.
And so this has become a monthly sit-down interview that I have the honor to sit down and chat with Greg on a myriad of different things. But for the listeners out there, can you give a little bit of a description in terms of some of the work that you all do with Children First, Communities and Schools, and some of what is in your direct wheelhouse with some of your advocacy efforts?
Sure. Children First, Communities and Schools does both direct services and public policy advocacy. So we work in schools with children and their families to help them succeed and do great things in life. And then we also feel that public policy is that underpinning, that fundamental stuff that frames how we do society, and it's so important to pay attention to policy issues, especially as they impact children and families.
Yeah.
And so we're doing a lot of work, continuing to do a lot of work around housing affordability, transportation, health care, juvenile justice reform. That's where we spend our time looking at policy and trying to get people engaged.
And really quickly for the listeners, you all have a very robust advocacy agenda, also known as the success equation. Can you speak to that a little bit?
That's right. The success equation is the equation to help families thrive and children thrive. And we think that it takes looking at the policy solutions we need. So housing affordability, we're really focused on that at the city and county level this year. We're working with a lot of partners, including Just Economics and Mountain True and the People's Voice for Transportation mm-hmm. Equality around transit issues. And then with healthcare, we're working with local coalitions and state coalitions around children's health insurance and Medicaid expansion. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. And those are just a few of the issues that we care deeply about and invite everyone to join us.
So let's go ahead and dive into it, speaking to that last bit around healthcare. If only policies and issues were as simple as an equation, I think we'd be in a much better place. But unfortunately, they're not. They are very convoluted and deeply layered. But there has been so much conversation of what took place in the House regarding the healthcare bill and where that sits. But I want to first direct the attention to some of the efforts that are happening here in North Carolina. Specifically, there is a bill, the Carolina Cares Act. Can you speak a little bit? Can you give a context in terms of what that is, where it's at right now, and who is sponsoring it?
Sure. I'm not going to don't have it pulled up and who's sponsoring it right now, but I encourage folks to check it out at the North Carolina General Assembly website, ncledge.net. Mm-hmm. If you haven't navigated to that place and you want to track all things related to our state legislature, that's a wealth of information. It takes a little while to maybe learn it, but call me and I'll walk you through it.
Especially if you're nerds like Greg and
right,
I, and
we
geek out over these things.
These are fun things to do in your spare time.
Light reading.
So the Carolina Cares is a bill that is introduced at our state General Assembly in North Carolina, and it has bipartisan support,
yeah.
Republicans and Democrats behind it. And what it will do is expand health care coverage to uninsured adults in North Carolina. Under the Affordable Care Act, that a lot of people are now realizing is the same thing as Obamacare,
right.
At the national level, states had the opportunity individually to expand health insurance to uninsured adults by expanding the Medicaid program. A lot of people think, oh, doesn't Medicaid cover adults already? Isn't it for poor adults?
Yeah.
In fact, Medicaid is primarily a children's health insurance vehicle. To be an adult on Medicaid, it's a very unique set of circumstances. So it is not a widely held adult insurance program. So North Carolina came out right away after the Affordable Care Act was passed and said, we're not going to do it. We're not going to expand. In fact, we're going to strip the governor's power to expand. Only the legislature can expand mm-hmm. it. And so for years we fought.
And this was under Governor McCrory.
Yeah. And for years, we've been advocating along with folks in the region and the state that North Carolina is missing a huge opportunity. It's federal dollars.
Mm-hmm.
It creates jobs as well as keeps people healthy. And a lot of those estimated 500,000 adults that don't have insurance in North Carolina that could be covered, a lot of those are parents. So
yeah.
From our perspective, when we know that parents have health insurance coverage and their children, just the health outcomes for the children and the family are better altogether. So It's been something we've been fighting for. We're really excited to see that finally there's a bipartisan effort. There are some caveats around work, being in the workforce or looking for work that could, you know, that we'll need to look at and see, make sure that's not too big of a barrier. But in general, this is a great opportunity, and we're really hoping that bill moves before the legislature convenes sometime later this summer.
In terms of this bill and kind of the public input and kind of hearings around it, given that this is being revisited by Governor Cooper, what are opportunities for folks to be able to weigh in on this bill?
Yeah, you should definitely contact your state senator and state representative. And again, if you don't know who those folks are, ncledge.net can lead you to that. You can contact us if you need help figuring that out. But take the time to call or email and just say, I support the Carolina CARES Act. We need to close the health insurance coverage gap. We need to make sure that adults in our state can access affordable health coverage.
You hit on a really interesting point earlier, Greg, that I want to revisit in terms of sometimes the misconceptions and misnomers that are associated with Medicaid. When you hear Medicaid, what are the things that come up for you, if anything at all? And I don't want to go into a rabbit hole of a conversation in terms of media and fake news and what have you, but what is Medicaid? Let's just start there.
Yeah. So Medicaid is a health insurance program provided through federal funding to the states, and then states have to do some match. And there are some requirements that the federal government sets on what kind of things have to get covered, and then there's some flexibility mm-hmm. that states are in charge of. So in North Carolina, we have done a very admirable job of using both Medicaid dollars and another program I want to call to attention, what is known as the Children's Health Insurance Program. Mm-hmm. The short acronym is CHIP. And that's a federal funding stream, too, that comes to the states specifically to help insure children. And so it tries to pick up where Medicaid leaves off. So
right.
Medicaid is an income eligibility program. And after a certain income threshold, you don't qualify. So for children who are receiving Medicaid, the CHIP dollars come in, and in North Carolina, we call that program NC Health Choice, and it provides then kind of a sliding scale insurance program as the family's income goes up. So it's not free like Medicaid was,
yeah.
but it's extremely affordable, and it allows children to stay covered longer. Between those two programs in North Carolina, that accounts for almost half of North Carolina's children are insured through.
Wow.
Right? And in Western North Carolina, out here in the western part of the state, those numbers are even higher. I mean, it is really between those two programs how we are insuring children. Back to kind of the question of what is Medicaid too. So Medicaid can cover adults, usually for things like severe disability.
Mm-hmm.
It also has been highly utilized for when lower income women are pregnant. They can qualify for Medicaid coverage to help make sure that they're insured during pregnancy and shortly after. Unfortunately, because we don't have an expanded Medicaid program, often that insurance is accessed accessed after you're pregnant. So you've already missed a chance to have kind of a medical home
right.
before pregnancy and all. So, but when we talk about adults insured on Medicaid, it's hard to qualify. It's very limited and mm-hmm. narrow. It's like extreme poverty or disability, or then there's the case of pregnancy. So that's a misperception. I think if you've heard of Medicaid, a lot of people just think, oh yeah, adults already get that. And
yeah.
that's not true. Not in North Carolina. In other states that did choose to expand, it is true, but not here.
I just think it's so important to be able to kind of tease out. Sometimes we use really heady language when describing, policies or Medicaid, healthcare, what have you. And very similar to kind of like EBT and programs and services that are designed that are working towards equity. I think sometimes for certain folks who don't have that lived experience or don't have to face those really hard conversations of their income and where they live and how they may or may not qualify their kids or themselves.
Right.
I think it's just really important to understand and be able to tease out some of the details and facts and not kind of have this like, overshadowed perception of what these things are, because sometimes that can be a really dangerous thing, and you can almost play into the hands of what becomes really partisan issues, when at the end of the day, these are lives. You know, these are millions of children that are reliant upon these services, and by stripping these away, you're not just like kind of feeding towards a partisan issue. It's so much more than that.
Right. Yeah, and you know, coming back to that human face on it is so important, because I can say pretty clearly over my 25 years of working in these areas that in our country we just have such a weird kind of relationship and stigma around, you know, programs that provide services to folks who have, you know, less money than others.
Right.
And it's like shadow side of this country with like not kind of having a lot of generosity in other places. But then when it comes to things like healthcare and all, we put all these hoops and things to jump through.
Right.
And I think it becomes then this, you know, people think they know more about what these programs are and who's on it than they
Absolutely.
Really do. And, you know, most of the kids on Health Choice and Medicaid are in families where, you know, parent is working, you know.
Yeah.
It's like these are children and families who are in our workforce. They're in our community. They are our neighbors.
Totally.
They are the folks that you're interacting with around Asheville. I mean, it is us. And so if we're talking about drastically changing Medicaid or undercutting it, you're talking about the whole health of our community.
Absolutely.
And you're looking at our schools. I mean, like,
yeah. And not even just the health of our current community. And I think to a statement that you made earlier in terms of policy and some of the advocacy work that you all do in terms of how it underpins so much of how our system operates. But even under that, you know, with a lot of what we're talking about here, while we're not specifically naming racism and classism, we're talking about centuries and systems of oppression that really undergird a lot of the issues that are at stake. And so it's, again, I think just a really important reminder of the big picture of all of it. And just kind of not honing in on a very specific thing, but kind of seeing it in its full vantage point.
Yeah, yeah.
So I want to revisit the Carolina CARES Act. And this is specifically a Medicaid waiver through the Affordable Care Act, which is Obamacare. And we, Greg, we would be remiss not to speak to what's taking place in the House. So for the folks who maybe have been living under a rock and aren't kind of in the know in terms of what's going on, are you able to spell out a little bit in terms of what the big decision was that happened a week ago?
Right. The House of Congress at the federal level, we're back looking federal now outside of North Carolina.
Yes.
They did bring back the this kind of repeal replace effort that we thought had failed. It they couldn't get votes on it back in March, and it was a lot of kind of fallout from that. And so I think advocates kind of breathe a sigh of relief. We'll still have this baseline, and we can maybe come back and start making some changes that it does need, but not talking these drastic repeal replace kind of pronouncements. And so, lo and behold, it did come back to life.
And this is the American Healthcare Act.
American Healthcare Act, as it's called. And it, a lot of leadership was actually from folks here in Western North Carolina, Mark Meadows, the congressman from part of Buncombe, and then on west, was part of the Freedom Caucus, who
Absolutely.
Really kind of brought it back to life and made some of the provisions even harsher on, you know, pre-existing conditions and things like that that are really going to hurt a lot of folks. And then Representative McGrady, who has the other part of Buncombe County and then a little further east, also ended up voting for it. So that was disappointing. We had, you know, great to see our leadership standing up for folks' health care. And one of the things that is important to note is the way that that bill will treat Medicaid, back to Medicaid, will really put a lot of children in our state at risk, because it has a lot of changes in there. And so not only are folks who got access to health care thanks to the Affordable Care Act and Obamacare concerned because of things like how this will handle pre-existing conditions and what it will do to them, but we really need to be concerned about, you know, all these children who are getting coverage through Medicaid, how that bill treats that.
So in terms of how folks can get involved, if they're sitting around listening to the radio and hearing this information, it's not always in the deficit. You know, there are actions that you can take to have your voice heard, and we always are supportive of empowering those voices. So it did pass through the House, but it's not a done deal yet. And so, Greg, can you give listeners a little bit of information and resources to be able to let it be known how this impacts children and families here in our community?
Just a quick kind of civics rewind. We've got, you know, the two sides of Congress. We've got the House and we've got the Senate. And so the House has passed this, but before this thing can become law, it's got to be passed by the Senate as well. And then they've got to, you know, reconcile it before it would go to the president for a signature. So we've got, you know, it's only halfway there. And we really feel like the Senate is more cautious on this. They're not quite as ready to just, you know, plow ahead. And so our two senators in North Carolina are Senator Tillis and Senator Burr. And these are the folks that you should just be lighting up their switchboards daily. I've got their numbers programmed into my phone.
As do I.
You know, just take time like once a week to call and say, hey, I'm not happy with this bill that the House sent, the American Health Care Act, and, you know, ask them to slow down, to make sure that they protect the coverage folks have, that they protect the things around pre-existing conditions and lifetime maximums, things like that. But especially from our point of view, protect the kids, like make sure that Medicaid is not undercut. And so make those calls. We think calls are typically better than emails, but they both have websites. You can go and email them as well. But just give them a call. You'll talk to a staffer or a voicemail, so it's not like you have to, you know, be prepared to debate the congressperson on the phone. I think that's a lot of the fear, right? You know, it's like, oh, what if they ask me a question?
Right, what do I say to it?
Yeah, just say your name, where you live, and just say, hey, you know, this is what I feel, and they'll write it down, and that's going to be the end of the call.
Well, again, Greg, it's so the senators, just to kind of repeat it, are Senator Tillis and Senator Burr, but anyone can call because these are policies and this is legislation that impacts all of us. You don't have to be an expert on it.
No.
And when it comes to lobbying for your rights and your civil liberties and your freedoms, you are not so much kind of breaking down a policy, but you're just speaking from your own point of view, which is the most important thing,
right?
You know, and when it comes to lobbying, they do have to take into account the number of calls that they're getting. So these are, you know, really important measures that I think kind of makes us a democracy.
Right.
So these are ways that if you're feeling kind of hopeless with what's going on, that you can get involved and you can let your voice be heard.
Exactly. And if you want to get the extra credit points, both of the senators have offices local in Western North Carolina.
That's true.
And you can, you know, call those local offices, make an appointment to go meet with their staff locally. And one day, maybe, they'll actually show up in Western North Carolina and do like a town hall meeting where you could come out. But we shall see. That seems to be a trend that's on the on the train to history or something.
Well, I think Republican MacArthur in New Jersey, he held a town hall meeting, which didn't go so well. So we'll see if this is a trend that continues.
Yeah.
Well, Greg, I know much of our focus today's interview has been specific around healthcare, as it has really been in the news, but you all do so much advocacy work. And can you give the listeners some more information and resources of where they can visit to learn more about some of the work with Children First Communities and Schools and some of the advocacy work that's happening here locally?
Be happy to. Check us out on the web at successequation.org. And you'll see links to the issues that we work on with the Success Equation and how you can get involved through that. You can also check us out at Facebook, Success Equation, facebook.com/Success Equation. And then you can also follow our advocacy work on Twitter. It's at CFCIS Advocacy. That's CFCIS is in Children First Communities and Schools Advocacy. And we'd love to connect with you any of those ways. And you can also old-fashioned it and give my office a call, 828-423-0698.
Well, Greg, as always, thank you so much for joining us today with Asheville FM.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.